Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
I wrote this down. Why spiritual things? Why study spiritual things? Spiritual operations? Spiritual gifts? Doesn't seem relative to the life I'm living in this hard world. Well, maybe it needs to become relevant to the life you're living. Listen to this. Understanding the spirit realm is the path to understanding why things are the way they are and how to change them. The only way to maximize God's greatest life enhancement that he has deposited through redemption. That's the only way, is spiritually. We are from the spirit realm and we are returning to the spirit realm. Amen? Now, we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit a little bit in operation. One of them in particular, and that's the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, as relevant to receiving tongues in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the reason that so many people today, I guess, either back away from teaching like this or are unfamiliar with it is because it's just not taught. There's just not a lot of people teaching on things relevant to the spirit realm, to faith, because there's too much juicy stuff out there just to, you know, to just kind of feed people the fat of what's going on in the earth. Makes it easy to just get up and kind of rehearse current events. A lot of people are doing that. I'm not. I'm trying to prepare you so that when the archangel blows that trumpet and he shouts, you're going to hear it. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, understanding these spiritual things. Now, I remember one time sitting there in a meeting and a man was up teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, powerful man of God, and I was listening. And I thought to myself, why, and the place was packed. I thought, why is a lot of these people, because I was a minister at the time, why are these people in here listening to this, as many of these people will never ever understand, realize, operate, or flow in any of this? And you know, the Lord, He's so kind. He spoke to me, He said this, that doesn't mean I don't want people to understand it, because if people don't understand it, they won't know what it is. And I guess that's our biggest problem, probably Alan and I's biggest problem, is our familiar, we're being so familiar, being growing up in such a dynamic move of the Spirit, we think everybody has seen that and everybody knows that when nobody really has. Nobody understands it. And so I'm trying to come from the standpoint of, yeah, when these things are in operation, when they're manifesting, that you know what they are. That helps you, especially when you're out and about. Listen, that doesn't mean God will not use you. God can use you, especially if you know what He can use you with. Amen? I mean, if I was going to train you to shoot a firearm, I wouldn't just load a gun and put it in your hand. Amen? I'd make sure a few other realities were embraced first. Amen? We'd talk about safety. We'd talk about what was fixing to happen. You know what? There'd have to be a preparation for you to have an understanding of what you were fixing to do. You know, the authority that God gives us in Christ. A lot of people, they get a little bit of teaching on the spiritual authority. Then they, quote, try it, and it doesn't work. Well, you can't try it. The doctrine of spiritual authority, you've got to grow up in that to where you don't try it, you do it. Amen? So a lot of this, it sensitizes us to the spirit realm correctly, so that when there are things in the spirit realm that are incorrect, you know it. You've got that. How did one minister said, you've got that on the inside of you. It feels like you washed your feet with your socks on. You just know something's wrong. Anybody ever had that happen before? Well, see, we need that in us. That is God's, what would you call it? That is God's security system on the inside of us, keeping us out of false doctrine, keeping us from being offended, keeping us from being lied to by the devil, keeping us from falling into traps that a lot of people fall into, because they get more soulish sensitive than they do get spiritually sensitive. You can tell when people are very soulish or hypersensitive in the soulish realm, because everything's about how they feel. Well, I feel this, or I feel that, or I feel this, or I feel that. And, you know, you ask him, what's God? Well, I feel He's doing this, feeling. Well, you can't. God operates by knowledge, not by feelings. People don't like that because they want to feel something. Now, go back. Here's right where we left off last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me get it here in my King James Bible before I... I brought my passion so when we get to the end, people won't walk out. Verse 18, it says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Everybody say, more than you all. Proves he was a Texan. Amen? Now, he is talking about the initial language deposited into him when Ananias laid hands on him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So obviously Paul took that language, developed it, prayed in that language, probably other languages he would use, in prayer, intercession, praying for the church, move of God, things he was doing, amen? So he was talking about not speaking in tongues in the assembly or in a congregation or being used by the gift. He's just talking about the Holy Ghost. That's all he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues. I worship in tongues. I glorify God in tongues. That's what he's talking about. Now notice as he begins to come on down, he says, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Well, that's just common sense. I mean, if you went into a church and a guy got up and just started speaking in tongues and spoke in tongues for 30 minutes, put his hand down, said, well, all you that are spiritual got it, the rest of you didn't. See you later. You'd think that was pretty crazy. Well, it would be. And that's what he's talking about. So notice, don't presuppose that we think we know why Paul is correcting. Historians say there was a letter written to Paul saying, we're having this all this problem, man. These people are going crazy. I mean, God's moving, but man, every time we get something going the right way, somebody else jerks it the wrong way. So he's correcting this by telling them, you can't just have services where everybody speaks in tongues all the time. Yeah. Amen? And call it a service or call it an assembly. Now, don't get me wrong. We call a prayer meeting, which we hope if you come to one that's kind of understood, we will be what? Praying. Now, I've been to prayer meetings before. I've been to churches where the pastor would call a prayer meeting, go in there and he'd teach the whole time. Well, if we were going to do that, we'd call it a teaching meeting. Amen? But we call a prayer meeting, people go in there and pray. Now, you'll go in there, if you come into one of our prayer meetings, you're going to hear people praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, and you're going to hear people doing it for a long time, and you're going to hear people doing it together. That's not confusion. That's not any, that's the true order of corporate prayer and intercession. You may hear someone praying the word over here. Somebody might be praying over a missionary over here. Somebody might be praying over the service. No time. God's using everyone, stirring everybody's heart to intercede and pray and get the will of God done. Amen. So Paul is bringing this correction, saying, now listen, you're going to call an assembly, you're going to have a service. Listen, we're going to have to teach the word. People are going to have to understand it. Amen. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with the men of other tongues and with other lips I will speak unto this people. And yet, for all of that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, now notice this, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Now, what's he talking about here? He is talking about wherefore tongues are for a sign. So you back up into the chapter. Where did he leave off? He left off talking about what? Talking about he'd rather speak. Amen. Five words in his understanding than 10,000 words in tongues. Are you with me? Then he says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign. So he's gone back to the assembly, and in the assembly, tongues should not be for intercession, should not be for worship. Of course, you can use, if you have worship all the time, singing in tongues, praising in tongues. But you know, I mean, basically we sing and we worship in our understanding. Amen. But you also have the liberty to do it in tongues. But in reality, in the true order of a service, what he is talking about, tongues are for a sign. He's talking about in the assembly. When someone gets up and gives a message in tongues, that is a sign. Boom. That is a sign right there. I've seen it happen many times in service where someone would get up and give a message in tongues, there'd be an interpretation, and it would break something in the service. Sometimes people would get out, you know, you'd think, well, everybody here's saved. Everybody looks saved. And then somebody would give a message in tongues, and people would stream to the altar and get saved. So we have to understand there is a place in the assembly for tongues to work correctly. I remember I was standing in the foyer, and there were some people leaving, there were some visitors leaving, and they were very upset and very mad. And so one of them came to me and said, you know, your church is totally out of order. And she was about 16. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, cool. I said, well, what's out of order, sweetie? And she said, well, you can't speak in tongues in the church. That's out of order. I said, well, did you hear me speaking in tongues? She said, no, there were other people in the congregation, you know, when y'all were having praise and worship, and there were other people. They were speaking in tongues. I said, well, that's allowed here. We're a Holy Ghost church. Amen. But see, she had had some teaching, and there is erroneous teaching out there where, you know, anything like that, well, you've got to have this strict. No, listen, the Holy Ghost is not as fragile as most people think he is. That's a lot of people's problem. They think he's so fragile that he can't be touched or handled in any way, so they don't want nothing to do with him because they're afraid they may make some mistake. He's not that fragile, and he desires to move. Amen? Now let's move along because we've got a place we're getting to, and my time's good. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, wow, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth for them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one that is unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that they are mad? Those people are crazy. That's why, you know, if you've got a neighbor that really needs to get saved, don't bring them to a prayer meeting. You say, well, they're probably going to turn and run out after about 2 minutes. Amen? Bring them to church where the word is taught in the assembly and what goes on in the prayer meeting can affect them in the church. Amen? So notice what it says. It says, but if all prophesy, and there coming one that believeth not, one that is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. So he's talking about if everybody's speaking in tongues, it's just a bunch of confusion. But if you're prophesying, if you're speaking to the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the church, then if one comes in and he's unlearned, he don't know what happened, he is affected by it. Why? Because he understands what you're saying with his ears. And because of that information gate being open, he can hear. And faith cometh by what? Very good. Hearing by the word of God. It says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down upon his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying, or to the building up. Amen. Listen, a lot of people, they got a unction to function. I've gotten a lot of criticism over the years. And when I used to travel, I was a lot more, how can I say this? I guess I was a lot more demonstrative or authoritative because, you know, if I came, you know, across the ocean somewhere to hold a meeting and somebody has to get up and prophesy in the middle of my meeting, that irritates me. Amen. And, you know, you go some places where people come from all over thinking they're supposed to have a part of a service. And, you know, it takes about 3 or 4 days to weed them out. Amen. But see, if something's going to be done decently and in order, amen, so that the purpose of what it's designed for comes into manifestation effectively, somebody's going to have to be in charge. Somebody's going to have to say, don't do that or do that. And don't do that, but do that. And don't do that, but do that. I mean, somebody's got to be there to do that. Amen? So it's only talking about let the Holy Ghost move, let the Spirit of God. And you can tell, listen, you can tell when people are, the anointing's on them or the power of God's on them. Or I look around many times just to make sure. So I look at certain people just to make sure there's not something on them that I see. Amen? And say, hey, but you got something? You got something on you? And most, a lot of times it'll happen in conferences, other ministers ministering together. But I'm always on the look for that. You say, why? Because sometimes people will get up and you're like, oh, my goodness. But you know you've already prayed and the Spirit of God will take care of things like that. Amen. Listen, where the supernatural is in manifestation, the enemy is always in there trying to mess that up. But the good news is we don't have to let it mess it up. You say why? We teach on it, we have understanding of it, and we live and flow within the understanding of what God gives us. Amen? Now, it says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course let one interpret. Now, I did some studying on this because that was a strict rule in our church. In Pasadena, in First Assembly of God, where Brother and Sister Goodwin operated so proficiently in tongues and interpretation of tongues. But in reality, the true text in the Greek doesn't put a number. It says a few, which could be anywhere from two to what? Four or five? So I don't know, a few. So that's not, we can't just put rules, stringent rules. So if the Spirit of God starts moving, and I've seen it happen through tongues and interpretation of tongues, many times we've done that just to be within the order of what the Word of God says. Got to move on one, move on another, move on another, and we'll just flow with that. But listen, if the Spirit of God picks that thing up, you know, we were in a meeting one time here, it was here. Some of you that have been around a while might remember it. Jeff Spring was here, and the Spirit of God had fallen on a meeting here in the church. And I was sitting right here next to Leah, and Jeff came around this corner over here, and then all of a sudden he called me. He said, come here, Rusty. And I went over there, and he'd walk up to somebody and give them a message in tongues, and immediately I'd have the interpretation. And we must have ministered to a dozen people like that. Well, you know, I mean, that was beautiful. I mean, God edified people, blessed people, touched people, but you know, we haven't seen it since. It's how the Spirit of God decided to do it with two different gifts right then and there. Amen. And then in other meetings we've been in, we could talk about how there were manifestations of that which God did. See, here's what we do many times. That's why we don't get in that rut around. We sing, you know, you ever been in a praise or worship and then the glory fall and praise or worship, praise God. And then you want to come back the next service and sing the same song, see if it happens. You notice it never does. It never does. I mean, we've tried a few times, but it just doesn't happen. You say, why? Because the Spirit of God, the move of the Spirit, the Word of God, it's like God. God is what? Anybody know what God is? It's light. It's moving forward. It doesn't have to go back to yesterday to get somebody yesterday in order to bless tomorrow. It just keeps moving and just keeps moving and just keeps moving and just keeps moving into what, Pastor? Into what He's provided, into what He's already laid out before us. He just keeps, that's why we got to move with Him. Amen? Now notice. It says, but if there be no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. I mean, you know, if you're used in the gift of tongues and a meeting happens and you don't get called on and that thing's just burning on the inside, just give it out to yourself. That's what the scriptures say. Just speak it out to yourself. Just be obedient to do that. Amen. And you say, well, what good does that do? Well, you'll edify yourself. It says, let the prophets speak, two, three, let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted, and the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophets. You say, now what in the world does that mean? It means that if you have an anointing from God, a gift from God working in you, God does not overcome that gift. You are still in charge. I preach and minister in the Spirit by permission. A lot of people do it by unction. You say, what is it? Well, people that have a gift, they can sense that unction. I do it because many times if I'm teaching or preaching and I've got something going and all of a sudden this unction comes, God may not be finished with that thought. He may not be finished with that, whatever it is that we're trying to dig into, that may be for enough. I've always had this place in me where I've been able to say, okay, Lord, what do we do with this, huh? And then there's been other times I've gotten in arguments and fights with Him. Oh, I mean to tell you. I guarantee you I have. Where He would say, do this or do that, and I'm like, no, not me, not this one, not this guy. I'm not doing that. No, no, no. And then, I'll preach another 2 or 3 minutes, and he'll come back and say, you're going to do it or not. And I'm like, nope, told you first time I wasn't going to do it. And he's like, well, you better do it. And I've done that sometimes for 20 minutes. You laugh. You ought to get up here and have to go through that sometime. But here's the thing. I know myself that if I don't obey God, I'm going to be miserable. We were in a meeting last summer. And it was I'd already done a day meeting there, and we were in the night meeting, and I wasn't the speaker. And man, God started moving all this kind of stuff. And so everybody's kind of looking around, you got something, you got something, you got something. Well, I was about ready to crawl under the chair. You know, I mean, I'm like, yeah, I got something, but this is your meeting. I mean, somebody do something. Well, nobody did, so I did. And man, the glory of God fell in that place. God did some wonderful things. But listen, where you get in trouble is where you're just the opposite of that. Where you're always, well, I'm going to do it. I'm the one. I'm going to jump out there. I'm going to get, because that's where you get in trouble. That's where your unction to function can get in front of God's unction in you to function. That's why we have this next scripture. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So back to what I was talking about, people interrupting my meeting. Some conference we're speaking in, God's moving, God's... And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of a meeting, someone stands up and starts, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. And it's never anything good. It never is. It's some doom and gloom and all the... And nowhere in the Word of God does it say any of these gifts of the Spirit give us doom, gloom. They're all to bless. Set free, deliver, edify, build up. And then, I tell people, shut up, sit down. One time I told somebody, shut up, sit down. In the name of Jesus, you shut up. I said, boy, they shut up, they sat down. And, they always want to have a meeting with you after the service and correct you. And so I always took the meeting. I always took the meeting, okay, you got something to say, come on. And after the meeting, we usually had things straightened out pretty well. But here's the thing, that, just like that, if somebody were right now to stand up and just start going, blah, blah, say, blah, that's out of order. That won't edify anybody. I mean, that wouldn't bless anybody. But it's amazing how people do that. But here's the thing, you still got to walk in love. You still got to walk in love, because that person is what? They don't have the understanding. They don't have that understanding. And what was really cool about a lot of that when it was happening, they all turned into teaching illustrations about how this is how this flows, this is how this operates, and this is how it doesn't flow, and how this doesn't operate. All right? Now, are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Here we go. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. So he gives us the answer in the next scripture. Let your women be silent in the churches. Glory! That cures it all right there. Hallelujah! Oh my. So why is that there? Why is that there? Everybody looked at me. Well, okay, we're doing good till then, preacher. I'm telling you what. You hit a snag now. All right, let's get it straightened out. Amen. Let's get it fixed up here. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. Let me find it. I should have brought my glasses. Now I'm laughing. All right, here we go. Let me read into the Passion Bible. The women should be respectively silent during the evaluation of prophecy in the meeting. Now, let me read that again. The women should be respectfully silent during the evaluation of prophecy in the meetings. They are not allowed to interrupt, but are to be in a supportive role or a support role, as in fact the law teaches. If they want to inquire about something, let them ask their husbands, and when they get home. For a woman embarrasses herself when she constantly interrupts the church meeting. What's the problem? In Corinth, you had a wonderful, wonderful, awesome revival happening. And a lot of people were getting born again that were prostitutes and those that practiced the evil, evil religion of Diana. They were getting saved, they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were coming into the church, and God was gathering the church together. Now, a lot of the women in those brothels had become very powerful, both financially and influentially, because they knew all the secrets. Amen. And so they're coming into this corporate environment, and who they were before they got saved, they had some stroke. You don't know what that means, right? They had some authority. But now in the church, they've got an unction to function. And obviously in that letter, the Apostle Paul, they wrote, well, you know, every time the Spirit of God moves, all these women jump up and just start prophesying or telling us what was prophesied. So all Paul did, Paul was not putting women down. Now, King James, now think about this. You're in 1640. You're a Bible translator in England. You're looking through, you're not a women's liber from 1972. Come on. What is your language going to look like? What is your translation going to look like? That's what it's going to look like. But that's not what the word, listen, women preachers, are you kidding me? Who can stop them? I know people that get all upset over women pastors. I've known in my life, let's see, Gloria Fajardo down in Corpus Christi, powerful woman pastor, preached many services for her. Yvonne Tyree in Alice, Texas, did many, many meetings, powerful woman of God. Others, we knew a few other lady pastors. But that there's no way in the Word of God can you find anything in the Word of God that has to do with women not being able to preach, not being able to flow in the Holy Ghost, not being able to be as used as any man in the Word of God. And this is not an indictment. Thank you, Linda. I'll pay you after the service. It's not an indictment. It's instruction to keep things balanced. Listen, I can remember as a kid, you know, Dad Goodwin was an awesome teacher and a powerful, authoritative figure. When Nana would step up there and the Holy Ghost would come over her, she'd take that thing over. And I mean, the Holy Ghost would take that. I've seen Brother Hagin yield to her. We were watching a video, when? Yesterday. And it's this huge crowd, thousands of people, you know. And there's Sister Goodwin, she had to be in her 80s. And Brother Hagin, he gets her up there, you know. And when he does, what are you going to get? You're going to get Mom Goodwin is what you're going to get. And that's what they got. And she had little prophetic songs and all these things and just prophesy. And she had a way of prophesying that was so personal to you that you knew God was talking to you. And so, you know, women should be used I think of women like Catherine Kuhlman. Amy Semple McPherson. You know, the sky's the limit for anybody who's willing to step out and do it. But listen, this is no indictment. This is right here at the end of the gifts of the Spirit. Why would the Holy Ghost, at the end of one of the most beautiful chapters that sets order in the church and help us to understand the functioning of two of the gifts of the Spirit, three of the gifts of the Spirit, which are the most important. See, now that's something else. We'll touch on that next week. My time's almost up. The gifts of the Holy Ghost, the vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now notice, it also said, let the prophet speak by one or two, let them judge. Listen, we want the Spirit of God to function correctly. You say, Pastor, I got a word for someone in the church. Good, go get them and come and let's give them that word. You give it while I stand there and judge it. Why not say, listen, if you're in the parking lot and somebody comes up to you to prophesy, say, great, let's go find the pastor, Pastor Leah, and let's let them judge what is prophesy. That keeps us all safe. Amen. There's been a lot of people ruined by parking lot prophets. Amen? There needs to be some judgment of what's being said in the Spirit. So why would God, by the Holy Ghost and the Apostle Paul, you know, all this beautiful information, a flow of the Spirit, and these three most important to the church gifts, and then at the end of it, beat up on the women. So we'll just tell you, we got four verses left, let's beat up the women. That's not what he did, amen? So let's read it again so we'll understand it. The women should be respectively silent during the evaluation of prophecy in the meeting. So it's talking about in the corporate structures. They're not allowed to interrupt. Well, that's just common sense. But ought to be in support. Now, isn't that a beautiful word? Not in submission or in subject, but in support. Everybody say in support. In support, bro, as in fact the law teaches, if they want to inquire about something, Let them ask their husbands. Now, Paul is just taking for granted that the husbands are serving God and being the spiritual heads of their house. Amen? I mean, some wives full of the Holy Ghost go to their husband, ask them. They don't have a clue. We're working on it. It says, do you actually think that you were the starting point for the Word of God going forth? No. That we were the only ones that it was sent to? I don't think so. If anyone considers himself to be a prophet or spiritual person, let him discern that what I'm writing to you carries the Lord's authority. Now, I think this is really cool, is when Paul says things like that and people refute it. That's why a lot of religion does not like the letters to the church. All of the denominational seminaries, they touch on them, but that's it. You say, why? Because, listen, it takes the Holy Ghost to have understanding, and you've got to see it through a redemptive light. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Let me get back here. I wanted to read this, but I left my glasses. Let me try it one more time. Yeah, here it is. I can read it. It says the theme Paul is addressing is unity and mutual edification, not simply the role of women. Women are permitted to speak in the church, to prophesy, to minister the gospel. Paul is apparently prohibiting interrupting the leaders as they evaluate prophetic utterances. It is likely that Paul was addressing a specific issue taking place in the church fellowship of Corinth, with women interrupting meetings with their opinions and questions about the prophetic words just spoken, possibly even words spoken by their own husbands. So when you just flop the word open and say, let your women keep silence in the churches, you're doing a disservice to how the Spirit of God can give us revelation on what really happened and what really the Spirit... Shouldn't the same thing be true today? Shouldn't we operate under the same grace today? That keeps us all safe, keeps us all happy, and it also ensures that these utterances and these gifts are true and sure. Amen? Now let me close with this real quick. We have 9 powerful gifts of the Spirit. We'll talk about the other gifts here in a bit. Y'all know them, 1 Corinthians 12. We know that the 3 revelation gifts are 3 gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Now they all reveal part and partial of the knowledge of God. God has all knowledge, but He will release parts of that knowledge as a spiritual gift, most of the time dealing with a current situation. You know, somebody has a hurt leg or, you know, God's dealing with somebody, you know, it's usually currently. So you've got word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Many times that'll remove doubt, unbelief, fear, prepare you for things to come. Discerning of spirits, actually touching the spirit realm with one of your senses: seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, or smelling. Amen. I've only had that happen to me one time. One time, I was sitting in a service and I was fixing to preach. A large meeting, a lot of people, and I was sitting on this row, and it literally felt and smelled. I guess I did feel that. Like somebody took a big old hit off a joint and just blew it on the back of my neck. I was like, there was no smoke, there was no nothing. I was like, they were wrapping up the preliminaries, then they turned it over to me, and so I just got up and said that, and I said, you know, there are people here, and you don't, it was really unusual because I said, you don't smoke weed, but you used to, and you're tormented. You are absolutely tormented by the temptation to do it again. And man, the altar just filled up. Remember that? Altar just filled up with people. Well, that was a spirit, that spirit of bondage, that spirit of addiction. Thank God that was broken. Amen? Amen. So then we have power gifts. Wow, that's what everybody's after. Now, well, we got to have the power gifts. Well, we do need the power gifts. They're the best. Listen, they're the best for throwing the net, getting people saved. The Bible says when they saw the miracles, the multitudes followed Jesus. Amen. We love miracles. We're miracle people. So you've got not just one, but you've got 3, and they manifest in all kinds of ways. You've got gifts of healing, plural, not singular. Gifts of healing. You've got special faith, or faith that is imparted by God. Not faith we can get by the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I like what one translation says, an impartation of faith. God will put an impartation of faith in you. Amen? And then there's the working of miracles. That's powerful. That's the alteration in the natural order of things. I mean, that can mean anything from a limb growing out on somebody to a miracle of provision. Mom Goodwin had all of these gifts manifest in her life over about a 7 or 8 year period of time. They would manifest in her as she prayed in the Holy Ghost, and Dad would go to the Word, and God would show him in the Old Testament and the New Testament those gifts in operation. So when it was the working of miracles, this was during the Depression. They didn't have anything. Many times their salary for pastoring the church were groceries. And they had an old flour bin in their house, a tin flour bin, had a tin scoop in it. And she said that she got up on a Saturday morning, and all of a sudden she just knew. She said, "I just knew." She said, "Just dropped him." She said, "Sounded like putting a coin in a phone back then." Remember, back then, the old days, we used to put a dime or a quarter in a phone. You'd hear it go down in there. Said, almost just like that. Felt that faith come down in me. She said, "I set the family down. They had 2 boys and a girl then, and Dad Goodwin." She said, "I'm going to fix the kid pancakes and Daddy biscuits." And they said, when we would dip the flour tin into the flour bin, you could hear 10 on 10 all the way down. Not a bit of flour. But when it came up out of the bin, it was full. And she dipped an entire bowl full of flour and made biscuits for Dad Goodwin and pancakes for her kids. Miracle, absolute miracle of God. Alteration in the natural order of things. Isn't that powerful? Now, all seven, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, gifts of healing, special faith, and prophecy were all active under the old covenant, operated under the old covenant. But tongues and interpretation of tongues is unique to our dispensation. It is God's way of speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort into the church. Now, one thing about here at Island Church, we've enjoyed a wonderful flow of that over the years, and we're even growing in that even more. And the good news is it begins to be developed in a ministry or in a church, it begins to become a carrier of the other gifts. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when Alan can attest to this as well as I can, but Mom and Dad Goodwin would flow in the Holy Ghost. Many times it was tongues and interpretation of tongues, but what was being ministered was a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a gift of healing. I mean, it was amazing. And it's amazing how these gifts complement one another as they move in a congregation or as they move in a church. Now, teaching the Word of God on the particulars of the gifts of the Spirit is how to get them moving and working in the church. The removal of ignorance, yes, that's important. But secondly, is the impartation of faith that causes expectation. We got a letter. Who showed me the letter? One of the staff showed me a letter. Maybe it was an email came on the computer. A lady, a visitor that came to the church a few weeks back. Needed to be healed of cancer. Huh? Melissa. Yeah. And now there's no cancer in her body. Thank God. So we get reports like that all the time. Even from the, that's why it's always good to testify of what God's done for you. Look, if you've been touched or healed by the power of God, you should always testify. That's part of what the woman with the issue of blood showed us. Amen. Testify, get that out there. And it's amazing how those testimonies of the glory of God kind of cause a groundswell, an anticipation. We've gotten into conferences, into meetings before, especially over in Ireland. You get a place where the move of God is fresh and new and very unusual, you know, among the people. They're very curious because they've never seen or heard anything like that. I mean, they never saw anybody shout. Most of them never even saw anybody raise their hands. They see somebody raising their hands like, whoa, what in the world is that, you know? But then as God proved himself faithful and true, and people actually did get healed, did get touched by the power of God. I mean, you stand in front of a crowd and they look at you like you're crazy for an hour while you teach the Word of God. Then just like you snap your finger, the glory of God come in and begin to do miracles. Well, you can't deny that's God. And you know what it does? it opens the door for them to receive everything that was taught. You know, I'll close with this. We were in a meeting in Ireland. This is when it first got going over there. And after a couple of trips, it was after our first conference that we did in May of 1989, the first ever all-faiths conference in the Republic of Ireland. And man, the momentum of that thing coming into these next meetings, people were so expectant. Their expectancy, listen, we had seen some miracles. We had seen God do some things. We watched God save about 18 IRA terrorists. Just like that. Just amazing. A friend of mine was up preaching, just screaming, spitting cotton. And these guys, listen, nothing on but sweatpants, high-dollar tennis shoes, and tattooed from their neck to their waist. Sat in there just defiant. They put them in there to try to shut the meeting down. And so Rudy Vitoshnik, I'll never forget, he's preaching like a man of fire, looked like a windmill up there preaching. I mean, he's going at it. So he makes one of them, he said, "Stand up!" A guy stood up. He laid hands on him, and that guy, boom, hit the floor. Those guys thought that Rudy killed that guy. They hit the floor. They all ended up saved. They all ended up filled with the Holy Ghost. The next morning, they're all sitting on the front row, clothed in their right mind with a Bible and a notebook. Well, that helps your expectancy grow. So we go from there to Dublin, and I'm by myself now. They'd gone home. I'm by myself, and the church had not even formed there yet. We're just doing meetings trying to gather people. So they got a schoolroom that sat about 75 people, and they must have stuffed 125 people in there. I mean, people were sitting on top. And I was sitting, my back was literally against the wall, and I had a music stand here, and I could literally put my hand on the person in the front row. And I'm like, okay. So there was windows all the way across like that, kind of in the old schools we used to have, and then there was three doors, boom, 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 and they had those two doors shut, and the door that was right here was open. And there were a few people standing right there in the hall. So I'm preaching on Acts chapter 10, elements of revival, talking about all the, devout, feared God, gave much, prayed to God, and the Spirit of God, you could just sense it. You could just sense it coming. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? There's no ushers. They don't even have a concept of those type of things. I thought, how am I going to, I'm going to have to pray for somebody. There's got to be some people in there to be saved. So I begin to think about, I can take them out in the hall. Our friends Hassan and Lucy, and Hassan played the guitar, and he was just sitting there, him and his wife. And so I'm thinking this, kind of closing it down. And in the back, the windows were open about three quarters of the way up because there's no air conditioning over there. There wasn't back then. And it was a cool night, about 60, 58 degrees. And there was some little Irish grandmas sitting back there. And one of them started just belly laughing. And I mean, it was, you'd have to have been there. It was crazy. And then up that aisle that came, just like a fire, like you would take and light a fire on a bunch of dry brush and the wind was blowing and it was coming at you. I mean, up that aisle, okay. Oh man, they were just roaring, laughing, hitting the floor, laughing, all the way up, and I'm like, whoa! And it come like waves. And people would get up and fall down and laugh and get up and fall down. And then one of those waves, it kind of just kind of dipped down, and a man raised his hand. And he said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Sure, say something, He said, I always try to remember to say it the way he said it. He said, I went through the screen and landed on the boot and broke my shoulder and crushed everything in my arm. Well, the screen, that's what they call the windshield. The boot, the bonnet. The hood, the trunk. So he went through the windshield, landed on the hood of the car. So he said, they couldn't put it back together. He said, look, I'm totally healed. He began to do that. Well, another one of those waves came through there, amen. And then after that, one of those little grandmas, she was sitting over here, she raised her hand real timid, and she says, "I don't know what's going on." Tears are running. "I don't know what's going on, but my neighbor brought me, I had pneumonia, I was so sick, and when I opened my mouth to laugh, it all left, and I'm healed." Well, see, God does those things because of the need of the people and because the effect that it has on expectancy. Amen. Now, as you've noticed here at Island Church, especially on Sundays, I've seen it on Sundays where there's this stir is beginning to happen. So what that does, that's created an expectancy. And that expectancy grows in us. And as we learn more and more about spiritual things and about how the Spirit of God operates and how the Holy Ghost moves in us, through us, and among us, then I guarantee you that expectancy begins to rise. Now listen. It may or may not greatly affect you, but what it will affect is others that come in. Because all of these wonderful giftings should not be for us having to apply it to the sheep all the time. Amen. The sheep should be healthy by the diet they're getting. But these wonderful manifestations of the Spirit, it's like, I wish I could see a miracle. Bring someone that needs one. Amen. I mean, I've been in several meetings where there was always these cases that looked like, well, God can't do nothing there. Listen, anytime there's something like that, that's an opportunity to really believe God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. I said, with God, nothing is impossible. There was a guy that had a back injury one time, and people were dancing and shouting and praising God. And he couldn't dance. So he rolled out of his wheelchair, and he started rolling. He couldn't dance. His legs were, but he just started rolling till he didn't have to roll no more. Yeah. Amen. An act of faith. Yeah. So everything that we do should do what? Line upon line, precept upon precept, building that expectation. Now, a lot of people, that's why you're not getting what you need to be getting in prayer. Because if you get continual answers in prayer, you're always encouraged and you're always expecting. But if you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're not getting anything and you're thinking, what's going on? Let me give you a little bit of pastoral help. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And talk to God in the Spirit and let Him minister to your heart and to your spirit. And get, many times we're not getting answers because we're not going in the direction in which the answer is. Remember, He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you're on another path, how are you going to get provision? If it's on the path of righteousness. Amen. So all it takes is a little adjustment many times and you get back on that right path and next thing, there it is right there. Listen, I know what it's like to play catch up, but I'm a good catch up person. You say, why? Well, I'd rather play catch up than get out in front of God and get in trouble. Yeah. Amen. And I'm good at catching up and I've been doing some catching up lately. But here's the good news. Allow these things, listen, allow these things, think on them, meditate on them. Think about the gifts of the Spirit. Go in a great, great study of the Word. Take those seven gifts and go into the Old Testament and discover them. They're all seven of them, they're manifested many, many times. Working of miracles? How about Moses splitting the Red Sea? That don't happen every day, does it? Amen. Gifts of healing? How about Sarah being healed and having Isaac? How about God touching Abimelech when Abraham prayed for Abimelech and his family were here and they bore children? Amen. I mean, provision. I mean, man, how about David's sword, Goliath's sword for David? I mean, there's all kinds. You go through, you start studying, you start expecting. You say, well, you say, well, God did that under a lesser covenant. Then you take and you go into Jesus' ministry. Yeah. And you look at the miracles. And you look at the gifts of the healing. And you look at special faith. And you look at His prophecies that He made. And you look at His words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. But notice that was not in a judgmental tone because the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman and knows exactly how to minister and exactly how to touch somebody's heart. And He just ministered something that could have been very offensive to her, something that could have been very, very what could have exposed her as somebody very, very bad. He just used it as a point and ended up what? Revival in that place. They went and brought the whole town out to see Jesus. Wow. That's how they work. And then get into the book of Acts and see those gifts in the book of Acts. And I believe even in the book of Acts, we see tongues and interpretation in Acts chapter 13 where the Holy Ghost said, Holy Ghost said, Holy Ghost said, Holy Ghost said to those apostles. Well, how did He do it? Well, either through prophecy or tongues and interpretation. He said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I am called. The Bible says when they laid their hands on them, they were sent forth how? By the church? Nope, by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Lift your hands and thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Yeah, I've got to shut up because if I keep on, We'll just take off. Glory to God. Father, thank you tonight for the Spirit that abides on the inside, the Spirit that empowers us. Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we're so grateful for the flow we've had in the church all these years. We never take it for granted that your Spirit moves. We've seen such wonderful healings, awesome miracles. Lord, we've seen tremendous words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We've had beautiful prophecies and tongues and interpretation of tongues. Many vessels that have flowed in these things. But Father, here at Island Church, we thank you that in the congregation, in the assembly, you're developing this in the hearts of the people, in the ministry of their heart, so that not only as we gather as a congregation, but Lord, in our personal lives and ministry, we have these wonderful gifts in operation as tools in the harvest. Thank you tonight for your word, for your mighty word of power. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and life to us. Thank you that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So as we leave tonight, we thank you that no evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling. 1,000 could fall at our side, 10,000 our right hand. Hallelujah. And Lord, like you said to us in prayer tonight, we will not be alarmed at the destruction that wasteth at noonday, at sudden destruction when it comes upon the earth. We will not yield to panic, succumb to fear, for our faith is in God and in what He's doing in us and through us in these last days. Father, we thank you that as we leave tonight, your protection and safety is upon us as a people. Not only us that attend the church regularly, but all those that are connected in any way to us. We declare no evil befalls them, no plague comes nigh them. Angels have charge over them. Lord, we thank you also in the righteous labor of our hands and in the education of our students. We thank you for safety, protection, blessing, canceling every assignment of the enemy, saying no to the devil and no to the spirit of destruction. Thank you, Father, for stirring our spirit man on the inside. Let us be ever so sensitive to those that are around us. Lord, that we might be your voice in their life, a miracle in their life, a problem to the adversary, an answer to their prayers, that they might find Jesus through us. Thank you, Lord God. We leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you, Father, for you are so kind, you are so good, and you are so wonderful. We leave tonight walking in love toward one another. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of unity, the bond of peace. Thank you for the platform that you're building for the Spirit of God to move in unprecedented ways. Thank you, Lord, that you stir our spirit man on the inside to pray, to watch, to be looking ever so faithfully for that which is soon to happen as you're coming for your church. And we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be the ambassadors of Christ that we are. We declare here at Island Church that we are covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.